Dan.
I'm going to call the Wednesday, June 10th Special Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Excused.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Alderwoman Evans will join us in a little bit. She's got a school board meeting with some budget issues, so she will join us. I will open the citizen comment period. Is there any citizen wishing to speak?
Tom Taylor, 7014 Elroy Court, Franklin, Wisconsin. I asked my alderman, Doug Schmidt, earlier today if he would be kind enough to introduce a motion at this meeting that I think will go very, very far to provide what a lot of people are looking for from tonight's meeting, and that's transparency, that the boards and commissions of the city have the ability of reviewing these very complex proposals. I'm not going to read each and every portion of this because it's about a page and a half, but it basically is the first paragraph deals with the city of Franklin's city attorney, Jesse Wesolowski, via the staff of the city, referring the detailed reports and presentations to the Community Development Authority for Franklin Economic Development Commission, to the state legislators, to the County Board of Supervisors, and to all of the other boards and commissions of the city that may have input into the process. The second part is I also would ask that a motion be put in place for the best interest of the people of Franklin that additional listening sessions and public hearings be scheduled on days when most people are able to attend to view the detailed provisions of this economic plan for the large areas of Franklin. I would ask that my alderman further move that a special public hearing be held at 1 p.m. on Saturday, June 27th at either the Franklin Public Library or the City Hall in the Community Room or at the Law Enforcement Center so that the people of Franklin and others may view the detailed presentation of the plan presented to all of us tonight in a manner that is similar to how past presentations were presented for the 27th Street Corridor Plan, the Comprehensive Master Plan of the City, the Rock Sports Complex proposal, and such other large projects that have great impact on the residents of Franklin. I'm also calling upon in the motion that the Director of Finance / Treasurer of the City come forward to make a separate presentation, primarily as the Treasurer of the City, to the Alderman that will provide his professional opinion on the approximate costs of these economic development plans that may involve the expenditure of millions of taxpayers' dollars or tax incremental financing funds. I would like to also say that I would ask that a motion continue to be made that the development proposals that are within the Franklin School District, such as the one that's on Ryan Road and Highway 36, I believe that's in Susan Mayer's aldermanic district, be encouraged and assisted by the staff of the city, and that all steps be taken to promote commercial development as well as mixed-use development that helps to alleviate the high taxes found within the Franklin School District. And last but not least, I would further move that is the expressed order of this common council that no actions be taken by any person associated with the city of Franklin regarding the entering of contracts or the negotiations of such contracts concerning a new business park until specifically directed by this common council as a result of a majority vote of this council. And so I would ask my alderman to make that motion. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? No arguments, come on.
Good evening, Kevin Haley, 8945 South 116th Street. I'm actually here tonight on behalf of Milwaukee County Parks Department be here to observe, to offer you the opportunity to answer any questions you may have relative to the proposed development in and around the Rock. As I think you're all aware, that is a Milwaukee County Park facility, one of the many amenities we're trying to bring to the people of Franklin to enhance their quality of life. And we think it's a very worthwhile venture and would strongly encourage you to support it moving forward for the great things that it can do for the community, the county, and our park system, and most importantly, your citizens. So I will be here if there are questions or concerns that you want to talk about later, but we wanted to get that message across that we see this development as a very positive thing for not only the county park system, but the people that we try to serve.
Thank you, Mr. Haley. Anyone else? Please, sir. Your name and address for the record.
Tom Benning, 11720 West Ryan Road. Contrary to what I've heard, seen on the proposed map of the area development plan, if something's going to go in there, it should be residential, not commercial. We deal with the garbage trucks all day long, everything else down 36. We don't need more trucks day and night. And that commercial thing, I mean, keep it towards the interstate where it belongs. If you want to put residential homes in there, that's fine. They take care of good things. But half the buildings in the industrial park over there, people go move in, move out there, they look like crap. You know, we don't need no more commercial buildings. We have enough with the landfill. If something's got to go in there, make it residential.
Thank you, sir.
Scott Biller, 3617 West Elm Road. I just wanted to comment a little bit about the industrial park and sort of the decisions that were being made as to how you plan to phase this project. In past reports, you had in the Franklin First development plan, you had designed it such that you were working from the south or from the north to the south. And now I see a plan that's being revised and you've decided to work from County Line Road north. And to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense because in the first report, they talked about how the lands to the south are probably the least developable, mainly because sewer access there is limited. You'd have to put a lift station in order to access that. The water is already on Oakwood Road. And to me, it makes a lot of sense that the phasing of this project should be working its way from the north to the south. I understand that there are issues with what's going on along Elm Road and the existing non-conforming uses, and I think that's something that can always be addressed in the future. But with the potential of the interchange going in at Elm Road, to me it makes more sense that that should be the main focal point of the project because the freeway access will be coming in off Elm Road. And designing it from the south to the north does not make a lot of sense to me. I sort of would like to know why that decision was made, whether it was related to the developer that owns the properties to the south, and whether they had significant input into directing the project to move from the south to the north. So I would like to hear some comments as to what changed from the Franklin First Tickner report and even why you had to go through this whole process again when you had a perfectly good report that basically delineated the TIF district and everything else.
We'll talk about that in that section. But yes, thank you. Anyone else? Ladies first. Ladies first. Ladies first.
My comment's very short.
Ladies first.
I'm Jana Marso. My house is 7306 South Stonehenge Drive. When we purchased the model home from Mark Carsonson, we were told the property behind our house, which is basically the Blue Horse Barn right now, was zoned R3 residential homes. And I guess I'm very discouraged to think of having commercial or possibly even industrial, which is being, no industrial, okay, commercial property in our backyard. So I guess because we bought the house being promised that was going to be R3, zoned R3, which is similar homes to what we have currently.
Thank you. Anyone else? know who you are, but name and address for the record, please.
Hi, John O'Malley, 5200 West Loomis Road. What I'm here for tonight is just what I read in an article in a newspaper, the Milwaukee Business Journal, where the city of Franklin is contemplating spending or having TIF financing in the amount of $30 million or better. What I am really here for is to find out from the alderman and the mayor, where is downtown Franklin? I've talked to the plan commission or planners, and frankly, they don't know. I think, as you know, this city became a city in 1953. That means that we have been a city for over 62 years. If after 62 years, we still do not know where the downtown is going to be, something is wrong with our government. I'd like to quiz each and every alderman here as to where they think downtown is and how long will it take to have a master plan for this city for everything that we're talking about. Things have lasted too long and have gone too astray for we to go any further with further plans, what I read in a newspaper, before we even know where we're going. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Malley. Now, that's what I like, getting up and getting at it.
Pam Chago, 102-50 West Ryan Road, in regard to the development on Loomis and 112. We feel that it should be residential, too. Ryan Road is in terrible shape. To cram all that into that parcel just doesn't make any sense. There's enough truck traffic, like Mr. Benning said. It should be residential. Larger lots, larger homes, not so condensed.
Thank you. The McDonald's. Mary, are you going to sing?
No.
Hi, Michael and Mary McDonald, 11555 West Loomis Road. And just a comment with respect to the proposed development at Ryan and Highway 36. And Harry and I both feel fairly strongly that the development should be residential rather than any sort of commercial or light industrial activity. We feel, for a number of reasons, it fits the site better. It occurred to me, as I teach in Whitewater and I often come home by way of Highway 36. Thank you, dear. And coming into Franklin from that side of town, it presents the face of the city, and it seemed to me that having the face of the city being more industrial area or something like that is not necessarily, I think, what we would want to convey in terms of the face of Franklin. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Mary. Anyone else wish to speak?
Did you want to skip me?
No. After you, citizens
right.
First.
I'm in your district, too. That's right.
Don't forget.
Whatever you're
doing. Craig Haskins, 7120 South Wolfville Road. I'm also the chairman of the Economic Development Commission here in Franklin. Our group's been working on just one of the three projects for the most part, which is the retail area, 76 Ross and Loomis area. I didn't know too much about this meeting, and frankly, I have no idea what you're going to tell us about today. But I do want to get you up to speed with where our group has been heading. For the past few months, we've met with three very well-known developers in the Milwaukee area, one that concentrates on medical/office-type projects, one that concentrates on retail, restaurants, hospitality areas, and one that concentrates on higher-end residential. The only one I had a chance to get a hold of this week to find out if I can at least state who they are is Rick Barrett. He's the developer, probably one of the most well-known residential developers right now. He developed the high-rise in downtown Milwaukee called the Modern, And he also developed the, or he's in the process of developing the largest building in the history of Wisconsin, the very tall, tallest building, Couture, on the lakefront in downtown Milwaukee. He's also the developer of the all of the residential parcels on the Drexel Town Center in Oak Creek. He is very interested in a sports-themed city center downtown that addresses Mr. O'Malley's question about where is downtown. I know he's also talked with Mike Zimmerman and Mr. Marzo about concentrating some fun stuff in the area. So we've got a live one here. And I know he's very good at creating buffer areas that would address the lady's concern about making sure her house, you're one of my neighbors, so making sure that the, her house doesn't, you know, back into a non-buffered area. So I just wanted to bring you up to speed on that. I have no idea what you're about to tell us tonight. We're interested in pursuing these developers and all of their interests in the area, and be happy to follow up with whatever else you need from our group.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Seeing no one
Mr.
else?
Mr. Mayor?
I'll do it.
Okay, Mr. Zimmerman, name and address for record.
Mike Zimmerman, 7337 South Cambridge, also in Stonehenge, Rock Sports Complex. So I agree with a previous mayor, Taylor, said in terms of transparency. I think we owe it to our citizens to talk about everything in terms of how that impacts everything, including Stonehenge, which I live in. So I echo that, but just about 20 minutes ago, the Business Journal came out with a news article you probably haven't read yet, but it says that we're back ready to talk to you guys about a potential stadium. I saw you were quoted, Mayor, and that's, I know you're aware of it. And as you said in the article, you're open to talking about it. But as Mr. Haskins said, we, you know, this will be a sports-anchored city center. So to Mr. O'Malley's point, where potentially will the downtown be, we have some thoughts. Whether or not the numbers work, we'd like to be collaborative with you. I've read the Grave Report. I know Allers is going to get up here, and they're going to suggest to you that the numbers don't work. I would suggest to you that that was done in a vacuum without developers that are sitting on some really meaningful data that could change that set of assumptions. And any reporting analysis is only as good as its set of assumptions, which I think are, you know, at least they were done by themselves. I've had some conversations with those folks. So, and frankly, we'd like the opportunity to collaborate with the residents in Stonehenge in terms of kind of what that means. So if you guys are asked to shut down the, and I'm not saying you are, but my fear is that there's going to be a motion tonight to shut down the downtown or 76 in Rawson opportunity, please don't do that, because there's still a lot of work to do, and I'd like to take another run at it since Oak Creek fell through. So if you'll have me, I'll take another run with you, as fun as that was the first time. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. Anyone else? I know that Alderman Mayor wants to speak. Anyone else? Alderman Mayor.
Yeah, I just want to get this on the table in the open comment period right from the start. We recently, as a city council, hired a consultant to go through the process of hiring an economic development director, and that consultant talked to many of the council members to see what our vision was and what we were expecting from that position. Every consultant I've ever known has talked to the people that they consult with to see what they're looking for. The consultants that prepared this entire thing, with the exception of Mr. Mooney, who has contacted me, but my questions were different from what he was referring to, and they're broader, but the other consultants didn't talk to us at all. And so how we can sit here, and I understand that transparency came up somewhere, it looks like we're not being, we're hiding things. We don't even know these things right now. We've got information that doesn't tell us which portion works, which portion doesn't work, or what, and nobody's talked to us about what we're looking for, what our vision is in these areas. So I'm really disappointed in how this whole thing has come out to this point tonight. And I hope going forward we can have input as a council and move this on. This has been going on since November, and we've asked for updates. And the mayor even said it's very difficult to get the consultants together to work on a night. Consultants work for the citizens. We're the elected officials. It shouldn't be difficult to get the consultants together. And we should have been talking about these things at every step of the way, and hopefully we can talk about these things going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman. Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing none, I'll close the citizens' comment period. I do have a comment on my own. First of all, it's great to see the number of people here. this meeting is primarily designed for exactly what you're looking for, is to impart some information. I get phone calls all the time with disinformation and misinformation, and you being here is important to have the right information, just as Alderman Mayer suggested. Now, we have been doing this since November the 4th. On March the 4th, we had a status update very similar to this, at which point we indicated the current status of all three of these areas, and I think you'll all remember that the numbers didn't work in any of them as that plan went forward. At that time, then shortly thereafter, the council authorized spending upwards of $70,000 on traffic impact analysis for this area. A is what we call the retail area. We call it Area A. It's the retail, 76th Rawson area. And at the same time, we were working with developers on Area G and refining plans to make Area D work. So traffic impact analysis, well, I'll let the consultants do what they're supposed to do, but we're here to impart information and let everybody know what's going on. So having said that, I will move on to item C1, future retail development in the area of South 76 and West Rawson Avenue. We'll have a presentation from Pat Presson from Grafe, the lead contractor on the project. And somewhere in the middle of this, we'll have Mike Harrigan from Ehlers and Associates talk about the numbers. Mr. Creston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council, for your time this evening. I would just like to give a quick overview as our scope of work as part of this project. We were hired to, as far as the Area A, which is the area that more or less from State Highway 36 and is both quarter through 76th Street in Rawson, hired to do several things. One was a site due diligence report. That site due diligence report really focused on the physical challenges or opportunities that the site has. It has to do with wetlands and transportation and utilities. We also focused on a phase one environmental assessment for a portion of the land that we knew to have some unclassified fill. And third, we are focused on developing a master plan based off of impact or input with local developers and brokers with the potential for land value and some infrastructure. So going through the due diligence report, what was included in the packet was, I think, the 6-page summary. This is the final report. We'll have a PDF for everybody and hard copies as you need them. This is the due diligence report. And just to summarize the pieces within it, the good things, the pros for the Area A is very good average daily traffic on State Highway 36 as well as Rawson, around 30,000 cars a day, which is very good. Utilities are available in the entire area. There's developable land that's able to be developed. There's existing destinations within the market area, the Rock Sports Complex, there's shopping, and there's adjacent housing for Stonehenge and a variety of other locations. So as far as the challenges, we started looking at what are limitations to develop. And the red line that you can kind of see on here was our study area. And this map in blue is highlighting the areas that are floodplain. And then there's areas that are in green that are wetlands. As far as us looking at development on these areas, those present challenges from a regulatory standpoint, as filling wetlands is very challenging and filling floodplain is also an encumbrance. The second thing we looked at was the area of landfill that we knew was beyond the exact borders of what was considered the Rock Crystal Ridge Drive. In yellow, you can see that it extends a little bit further on to the site that between Crystal Ridge and the highway. And there's also a methane pipe that runs diagonally through this piece that serves the landfill. And then you can see a few additional floodplain areas and some wetlands around this area. And you can see the red box here as well.
I'm sorry, what does the yellow represent?
The yellow is the landfill boundaries.
Okay, but there is development on the entire part of that. Okay.
Yes, yes. So it just has more of a fact of how do we deal with it moving forward. So, and you can see in green here, there's a variety of other wetlands that are within the area. And this low area that's classified as a wetland for the DM, from the wetland inventory map, was that fill site that some area was excavated and filled back in over time. And more or less our phase one concluded that it needs to be studied with actual physical samples to find out what was done in some soil geotechnical analysis to find out if there are any limitations. The third biggest challenge in the area is access. Right now, there's access to State Highway 36 from 76th Street as well as Rawson. This is less than a quarter mile apart. We took a look at it as an option. Well, what if service was modified so that we had full access off of 76, and we changed it at Rawson? This netted us about an additional 18 acres of land, this is what the mayor was talking about, is the TIA study, which I have some more maps I can show you in greater detail. But one of the challenges to the reason these lands are not developed is the state, Wisconsin Department of Transportation, has a distance requirement before having access off of a state trunk highway when you have a ramp that's classified as this. And it's about a half mile. So because you have this distance, you're not able to have commercial access off of this road to serve this development, which is the main reason why you have 30,000 cars going by here every day and this area hasn't been developed. It's because there's no access to those 30,000 people. So, with that, we also talked with several brokers and developers to talk about opportunities. And I guess I'll go back to this one. The biggest opportunity they saw for this area was these pieces of land. There's around about 140 acres within this piece of land right here that does not have access, which is a fair amount of land. They said if you could improve access, you'd have an opportunity.
Excuse me, where's the 140 acres?
140 acres is included within this red boundary.
This is not a public hearing. I asked, just hold your question. I understand. Let me back up for 1 second and orient everybody, because you may all not be really familiar. This is Rawson Avenue. Sorry for the jitters, but it's a long way away, and I had lots of coffee today. This is 76th Street. This is Pick and Save. This is the Orchard View Shopping Center. The Rock is here, of course. This is Crystal Ridge Drive. And this is Stonehenge. And I call this Hawthorne Estates. It's not the real term, but that's what I call it. The off-ramp for 76th Street here starts about here. And the state requires a quarter mile up the road from a ramp or access to a parcel. So that's an issue we're trying to solve. The other issue we're trying to solve here is multiple ramps going to the same spot here. This ramp coming down from 76th Street is about a half mile long. Right, Pat?
Yep.
And it comes all the way to here. So that limits access to this parcel. So we got to fix that problem, as well as these ramps, this ramp here, and Old Loomis Road here. So all of that entered into the mix, where it makes this parcel and this parcel very difficult to develop. This parcel we can all argue about, but how do you get to it if you're southbound from Loomis?
Can we hear Pat's report, please?
Sure.
It's on the agenda. So yeah, the mayor is exactly right. So there's also this frontage road that extends, that's also a piece of redundant infrastructure. So when we were talking to different developers, the biggest challenge we have with about 140 acres is the lack of access to the state highway. And so what we were looking at doing, and it's part of the TIA, is maintaining this access from 76th Street, maintaining this access from 76th Street, as well as these. So all we'd be looking to do is changing the access more or less to the south, which we can show a little bit more in the master plan. The other information we heard from talking with the developers was that there really needs to be multiple destinations. The challenge in Franklin is there's multiple retail districts, and in order to, you really have to focus on one. Now, one is started here, which is great, and you have a destination in the Rock. What we need to do is look to add other destination-type developments. The things that came up were medical office, fitness, other anchors. Could be large format retail, but it might be difficult with the proximity to Southbridge. And that was really the report that we got from the variety of retailers or developers. So alternate A, and so what we had looked at was more or less, and you can see in color here, that we have a variety of different colors. This is the far eastern section, which shows the red area. And we were really looking at this as a land use map more than it was just a design, if you will.
Pat,
and,
excuse me, let's worry. Not shown on the map to the east where the pointer is Senders.
Yes, Senders.
That's Rawson Avenue going east, left and right.
This is Rawson, this is Loomis. So we had looked at this area of having that would be able to be developed as additional Sendix-like type of retail development. Moving to the west, there's a piece of land, and what I should preface is we were directed to look at the land that was vacant as part of a redevelopment plan, and what likely land uses could it be or would it be in the future. So we tried to focus on, like with this area, if you remember going back to where the floodplain boundaries were, this is all floodplain and wetlands. So we weren't going to look to develop within the floodplain or the wetlands. Moving west, another piece of undeveloped land. We're looking at commercial up front with an opportunity for multifamily behind it. And then this is the west section. So as far as colors on this map, the red is commercial, retail, restaurant. The orange and yellow would be residential. The red, again, was the retail restaurant. Blue would be some type of destination-type user. And you can see a variety of different pieces. So our design, in essence, from a land-use perspective, was backfilling behind the shopping center here with more high-density residential fronted with commercial. To the north of Loomis, extending the apartment complexes that are up here, adjacent to the Rock, because of this existing methane line, we looked at what could we put here, likely commercial as a development, but it was limited due to the methane line as well as some of the existing wetlands and the grading issues if this ramp were to stay. Then further to the south of Rawson, we had a variety of other uses. Blue, again, would be more of a destination type use. The orange would be residential. The red was commercial. And then this was just an extension of the single family. You can see with the ramps in place, but this is the furthest north we thought we could get access approved by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And that would not allow access to any of these other developments from the state highway. So this access would work more or less through here and connect back up to 76 this way. All the ramps would stay in place. We took a look at what the total development land assessment could be based off of those land uses and the dollar per acre for the land uses. Were a function of an average that the city had prepared for, I think it was based off of 2015, that we used to extrapolate acres per dollar of assessed value per acre to get the different areas. For this total area, based off of this design, we were at about 73.7 million of total assessed, or 85.7 million of total assessed value. The next part of our scope of work was to take a look and find out what would the cost of building all of the infrastructure, the roads, the grading, the stormwater management, streetlights, utility extensions, gas, power service, everything be if you were to develop this entire plan. The entire construction cost for this alternative was about $31 million. A couple unknowns. We're dealing with the contaminated soil partially from the landfill as well as the fill site, and we have that ballparked at about $3 million. And then we also had a couple other placeholders in here that needed a little bit more work, which would be within the methane pipe, which we can see we have a placeholder for that as well, about a half. So then we looked at alternate B, which we are suggesting is a better solution. The eastern section, which is next to Sendix, is exactly the same as it was before. This is the section that we're able to take that extra 18 acres of land and leave the access on 76th Street, but utilize the road where all the people are traveling to have access to these different types of these different vacant land. So with that, this portion east of 76 stayed exactly the same. We were able to add a substantial more amount of development adjacent to the Rock. And south of Rawson, we were able to add what we would consider more of a mixed-use town center type of project. Again, we have destination uses in blue. Our big driver for this is you have to have those destination users. And this, talking with different developers, this would be a fantastic site for a medical office fitness center, similar to the one we're working that is being developed at Drexel Town Square, and one that was developed up in Menominee Falls with Freighter and the Wisconsin Athletic Club. We'd be able to have commercial fronting the state highway and buffering the subdivision with more multifamily type housing. Across the state highway, we'd be able to front frontage would be more retail, focused on restaurants. Now we're providing access to those 30,000 people. We have some ability to capture that market. We really need to capture those people to ever have an opportunity to have this building. Adjacent to the back of Pick and Save would be more multifamily, and then we'd also have another destination user, and that would be around the town square sometime. This would give the Franklin, as we were directed, an opportunity to have that downtown, to have that town square, to have it linked to a larger area, with surrounded by residential, destination of being of the Rock and other retail slash commercial developments. Again, we took a look at the total value for what this land value would be, and it's about $97 million on 132 acres, because you picked up about additional 18 acres of that were existing highways and ramps. And the hard cost to develop the other pieces was about $27 million. Again, the challenges are we have to understand what the hard cost would really be with landfill or the methane pipe, as well as the ramp work, as far as what would it cost to actually impact. So more or less, we put together a summary of what our recommendations would be. And I'll just leave you with this is, you know, for Area A, we would recommend moving forward with Alternate B. Continue to work with WISDOT to determine if the elimination of the south ramps to West Loomis can be removed, thus allowing for additional developable land as well as better access. Continue to work with Milwaukee County to determine the impact of the methane pipe and the fill area that's beyond Crystal Ridge Drive, as well as the Rock, to see what can be safely built over and without actually incurring those costs. Work with other existing landowners to determine what issues might be present with the existing landfill or the existing wetlands, as well as the fill site. And they continue to work with the landowners, the financial consultants, to understand what would the city be willing to fund within a TIF, and focus on areas, the sub-areas A, B, C, and D, which were the areas really around 76 and Rawson, as those were the biggest challenges. So that was our report.
Thank you, Mr. Cresson. With the record reflected, Alderwoman Evans has joined us at 7:07. Mr. Harrigan, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Alderman. And it's a pleasure to be here with you this evening.
Mike, please let everybody know who you are and who Don is.
My name is Mike Harrigan, and I am the chairman and senior financial advisor for Ellers & Associates. We're serving in the capacity of consultant to establish the feasibility, economic feasibility of the city's participation utilizing the tool of tax incremental financing for this particular project. Don Gunderson is my associate that is also a senior financial advisor with our firm and is a lead advisor working as a financial advisor for the city of Franklin as well.
Now, Mike, before you get started, a lot of the people here don't know you or know your experience. Can you give us a little bit of your background with, and maybe a little bit of Don's?
Sure. Well, I come to the process with about 40 years personal background and history. I served 19 and a half years as a city administrator, city manager for three different communities in Wisconsin before joining Eller 22 years ago. I served with Eller as a financial advisor for those 22 years, and in that capacity, one of the primary areas of our expertise and responsibility is assisting communities with the development and an analysis of tax incremental financing. As a firm, we have assisted in the creation of an excess of 350 tax increment districts in the state of Wisconsin alone. We also practice in Minnesota, Illinois, and Colorado, and have assisted with probably in excess of 2,000 tax increment districts all total within those states. Don Gunderson comes to us and has been with us. I'm going to get wrong, Don, but I was going to say in excess of 10, so that would have been fair. But we're very pleased, and I think we were very pleased to get Dawn. She is a former finance director serving communities in Wisconsin and Iowa. And she specializes in bond work as well as tax incremental financing for our clients. So with that background, we were asked to evaluate the feasibility from a TIF perspective of these projects. We'd had the opportunity to work with Pat here going back to earlier part of the year, and we were provided with some preliminary information. We got the most recent information that you all received here tonight on Friday, and we've had an opportunity to run some preliminary analysis, which I'd like to share with you tonight. Because of the timeliness of what we have, I have a one-page summary of what I'm going to be talking about verbally that I'll ask Don to distribute. And there are enough copies, I believe, for at least folks in the audience to share as well. But let me begin with discussing what we're looking for here. Essentially, what we're trying to understand, and at the end of the day we need to get comfortable with, is that the taxes that would be generated from the new development that is being proposed for these areas during the period of a tax increment district would be sufficient to cover the cost of any principal and interest on debt needed to be issued to pay for that. So that's pretty much, in a nutshell, what our mission is to figure out whether, in fact, there's going to be enough taxes coming from the cash flow of the projects to support the cost of the projects that are they're proposed. What we're going to tell you tonight is that we don't think we're quite there yet. And please don't misinterpret my comments here as being negative to the idea of the development, per se, or the project overall. Presuming that the city wishes to see proper development, and I know it does want to see sound development occurring within the community, we're here to help find ways to facilitate the financing of that. So we see that as our big mission in life, is to help communities achieve their objectives through public finance. But it's also our objective to point out when we see at the front end whether or not there are gaps here, and right now we do see some gaps, so let us just talk about it. What we've done to get a preliminary cut at this is to run what we refer to as a net present value analysis of the cash flow, the revenue stream. Yes.
If that's a question. I know you guys are doing a good job and you're doing the best you can, but this meeting was supposed to occur 2 weeks ago. And we asked for all the information that we possibly could get. How come this is coming tonight when this meeting was going to go on 2 weeks ago, and it didn't go on because there was not a quorum here, not because consultants couldn't make it here? So, and it's more of a rhetorical question, just a little bit more of my frustration with this entire process. So this is a very good thing. It would have been nice to see this, though, with the rest of this last Friday so that we could digest all of this together.
I appreciate that, Alman. We received the information ourselves Friday, so we dealt with the information we got on Friday, today, and yesterday and today. What I'm telling you tonight is that the numbers, I'm going to start with Area A and Alternate A. It's fairly straightforward. Assuming that we have $73.7 million in net increase in value, which is the numbers that were presented, and we have $31.2 million in cost, even if we got all of that value to occur in the very first year, that wouldn't support the $31 million. All we project is about a $23 million net present value on the cash flow from that revenue stream over that period of time. It's a ratio of about 2.3 to 1, and that's not sufficient to cover the cost in this particular situation. I think a more realistic scenario we're getting to with alternate B, because with that scenario, assuming, again, $85 million in value and $26.8 million in cost, but again, assuming all of that occurred in year one, we would cover. The problem there is that it's not likely that that's going to all happen in year one. The fact is that it's probably going to sprinkle in over several years. So we need to model that. We need to come back to it, to the table, and look at some scenarios that would envision the timing of the absorption of the project within a time frame that could be deemed to be realistic within the experience of the city of Franklin. And so there's more work to be done on that. With alternate B, that gets you to a ratio of about 3 to 1 in terms of the ratios. But then again, that assumes all development occurred in the first year. So we really are confident that there's the potential here, but we're not there yet in this situation. It isn't a situation that would work under the current framework. There would have to be a reduction in cost, potentially increase in value, or the coordination of timing between costs and value in a way that would allow for this to actually provide comfort. I can tell you that I referred to these ratios, ratio of cost to value. We like to try to strive for at least a 4-to-1 ratio. And that provides at least a little bit of cushion over and above the projected cash flows. And I think that arrangement would serve you well. So that would be what we would be seeing at this stage of the game. And I'm happy to answer questions from any of the members of the council.
Let's do Alderman Mayer first, then Alderman Willem.
If I could just get you to explain that again, and apologize, but again, if we were to add this ahead of time. Now, your ratio of 4-to-1, 4 is what we would be investing in this, and 1 is what we would get out of it.
No, you want to get $4 out of every dollar you put in.
Okay. And right now your projection is 3-to-1. $3 for every 1 we put in. What about alternate A? How much?
That's 2.36.
$2 out for every 1 we put in.
Right.
Thank you.
Just, maybe just